It's all about the money, from the markets to your pocketbook. Welcome to The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now for the host that's always on The Upswing, Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. This is The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Today, full show. Oh, whole lot of fun coming at you. We'll look at state fair numbers. Remember my prediction from yesterday? I'm going to give you all the numbers of state fair. We might do some Olympics numbers, too. We'll do a preview of tomorrow's Milwaukee Night Market. It's taking place right here on Wisconsin Avenue. Big numbers there, too. Plus, Nancy Hernandez, president of the Hispanic Collaborative, will join to preview the group's well-being index that's being released today. It will include recent data related to the health, wealth, education, employment, and quality of life of our Black and Latino communities in Greater Milwaukee and compare it to our counterparts in the top 50 metros across the United States. And Dave Spano is going to join us today, too. That is a full show. First, quickly, two things that I'm seeing in the business world that you need to know now. Macy's Movement. We're putting together a full show with some of the general managers and tenants at area shopping malls. But Macy's recent decision to close nearly a third of its shows, or a third of its stores, will spark even more changes in malls. Some of these transformations are going to catch you and probably your money by surprise. Just so you know, there are four Macy's in Wisconsin, by the way. Mayfair, Southridge in Greendale, Hilldale Shopping Center in Madison, and then the Fox River Mall in Appleton. Macy's hasn't revealed which stores it's going to shutter, but if history is any guide, former Macy's stores could totally transform the spaces at these malls. Maybe spark projects like grocery stores or apartment complexes, much needed housing, hockey rinks, Amazon warehouses have been moving into malls, entertainment wings with restaurants and amusement parks. So a lot of new activities moving into malls. We're going to get the pulse on what local malls are doing. So watch for that show coming up very soon in the coming weeks. Also, a Gen 3 for Kenosha. The Milwaukee Business Journal reports that Quick Trip is upgrading its Kenosha location on 52nd Street. Plans are before the Kenosha Plan Commission that call for almost a 3,000 square foot addition. Commission members approved the staff's recommendation for the project, but have requested amendments to the proposal to address their concerns regarding some landscaping and layout that's pretty commonplace with these types of additions. Quick Trip has a bunch of older Gen 2 stores across the area. Its Gen 3 stores have more space, more of a modern look, a little softer colors, bigger kitchens, bathrooms, even these walk-in beer caves. So watch for a revised and regenerated Quick Trip in Kenosha. For my suggestion bar, the upswing suggestion jar, I still want a Quick Trip in Greater Milwaukee, so let's put that on the agenda, all right? Next up, Dave Spano, CEO of Annex Wealth Management, joins the Upswing. We'll talk about his back-to-school trip with his son, consumer confidence, and much, much more. This is The Upswing. We are presented by Horicon Bank, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined on the phone by Dave Spano, CEO of Annex Wealth Management. Dave, happy Tuesday to you.
Yeah, to you as well. Thanks for having me on.
Indeed. So I just saw this morning that the average cost or the average amount of money spent by households bringing sons or daughters back to college is $1,364.75. You just had a recent back-to-school trip in your family. How was your shopping?
I think I spent that just in gasoline from here through Chicago and down to Bloomington. Yeah, so yeah, there's no question. There was a lot of Amazon boxes at our house before we loaded it up and took them down to Bloomington. But it was a great trip. It's an amazing experience, of course, for him. And the last one. So we got my wife and I and a couple of dogs looking at each other right now.
All right. Very good. That's a great experience. And glad everything went well. Hopefully you got back safe and sound. How are the gas prices along the way?
Yeah, you know, they're obviously through Chicago, they're a bit higher. Obviously, five tolls here and there, but, you know, probably, you know, getting up towards $5 a gallon. So we tried to fuel up before we left. So gas prices are certainly high. And of course, Jeff, that's one of the reasons why we're starting to see, you know, people feel the way they do about consumer confidence. You saw, perhaps you saw this consumer confidence index that went up.
Mm-hmm.
But why is it going up when you look at all of these cross currents, right?
Right.
That are happening. You saw the unemployment rate a year ago was at 3.4%. Today it's at 4.3% and expected to go higher. Some economists are even talking about 5%. Now that's not an absurd number, but Jeff, it's a lot higher than what it was, and there's this thing called the SOM rule, and if it goes up more than 50 basis points, that it shows a slowing of the economy. Well, we're going to be way above that. So I think people feel that. People feel that the unemployment rate is going up. They know that their buying power has decreased because of inflation over the last number of years, and that's the reason why they're starting to, you know, pinch their pennies.
Yeah, I mean, do you see retail habits then starting to shift? I mean, it's like, how do you square that sentiment? If the consumer confidence index has rose slightly this past summer in June, and then, but it just seems like people are a little less positive about their family's financial situations right now.
Yeah, I don't know that you can square it. I mean, there's cross currents, right? And so right now you look at, for example, Home Depot. They reported this morning, and the great example of what's happening right now, sales were up from last year, but they're projecting that they're going to decrease 3-4% next year. And you see it, and you're seeing it now in Home Depot with their report this morning. You see it with fast food, you know, McDonald's bringing a $5 meal back. They're trying to do that because they know people's purchasing power has decreased.
Mm-hmm.
And so when inflation goes up and their paychecks haven't kept up with it, that is the reason why the confidence is down. Unemployment rate is going up, and then you saw the whipsaw of the stock market last week, Monday. Really what happened there was this crazy thing called the Japanese yen carry trade unwinding. Now, I know that's a lot of words there, but really what it was is they had something going on in Japan and that bled over to the United States. All of this kind of takes away the wealth effect because people don't feel as good because their 401ks are going down or their taxes are going up, or the inflation is going up, and all of that suggests that they're going to start pinching pennies, especially as we go into an election. I mean, think about this, Jeff. Just, you know, a couple of weeks ago, the Democrats were completely despondent that they were going to lose the race, and now they're jumping in the streets because Kamala has passed up Trump in the most recent polls. So people are getting whipsawed around, and that's the reason why I'm not sure you can square it at this moment.
Yeah, and it all leads kind of, like you said, to more cautious spending, particularly in those discretionary areas. Consumers are just prioritizing essential expenditures because they don't know what's going to happen. And that's life in the big city, but it's a lot to deal with for sure. I want to, when we come back, talk about what your thoughts are on the outcome of the U.S.-China financial discussions that are happening this week. Also get your take on Gen X. A lot of new surveys out regarding the amount of money that Gen X has saved, and will they be able to retire, and to see what your thoughts and suggestions are. We're talking with Dave Spano, CEO of Annex Wealth Management. This is The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Dave Spano, CEO of Annex Wealth Management. The WTMJ talk and text line is 855-616-1620. Always appreciate all the insights from the 262. Just to follow up on our last conversations, saying the ultra-discount airlines seem to be cutting back future flights to mostly leisure destinations like Vegas, Florida, and Bahamas. So wondering if that's a sign of personal discretionary vacation spending getting cut back as well. Definitely a good insight and something to keep an eye on. Another thing to keep an eye on this week, the Financial Working Group due to meet August 15th and 16th. Senior U.S. and Chinese economic officials will meet to discuss economic issues in Shanghai this week. Dave, what do you think could come out of these discussions? Kind of a, you know, they discuss economic priorities at this twice a decade conference.
Right. I think it's going to be a big nothing burger. So I wouldn't expect much. You know, they're supposed to talk about these things like cross-border trade and lending payments and communication between the two. But, you know, probably the bigger issues, there won't be much movement just because of the relationship with the United States and China right now. Of course, you know, obviously they're eyeing up Taiwan, and that has increased the geopolitical risk for sure. But, you know, they're probably going to, you know, do some things like, you know, talk about what China is doing. And they've invested a lot in resources, especially into green technology. And when they just keep building these things, what's happening is they're just dumping them at sometimes below cost here in the United States. And because economic growth really isn't their concern, keeping and wielding their power really is. And so these tariffs that Biden put on EVs and solars and semiconductors and batteries, all of that will continue no matter who is president come next year. So now it's going to be a good talking point, but I expect a big nothing burger out of it, my friend.
Yeah, well, kind of for show to an extent, right. For sure. Yes.
Right.
So I'm seeing some new data around Gen X. 55% of those in Gen X don't expect to be financially prepared for retirement, compared to 48% for boomers, 46% for millennials. And this is according to a recent study. What advice do you have for Gen X that, all right, we're looking at retirement really soon, but we're not prepared?
Right. So a couple of things, and let's just start to talk about what you led in with, which is, are you starting to see leisure travel begin to decrease? And this is all part of that. That you're seeing the upper income individuals, you know, who did all this revenge travel, right? They're looking at that right now, and the younger folks don't have the money, and those are just demographics. I mean, if you look at where the wealth is held, and it's clearly above those who are age 50. So my recommendation would be to the Gen Xers and below and younger is start often, save what you can, but get started. Just start early, and now is better than never, right? So start putting money in, especially if you have a, you know, 401k or 403b or whatever it is at work. Start to do that. Sometimes in most conditions, the companies match your deposit. And that's when people come in to retire, Jeff, what we're seeing is a big part of their net worth is clearly their retirement, right? And where they get it, where is their qualified plan, where is their IRA. So start often, start early, start putting that money in, even if it's a small amount. At least you get in the rhythm of putting that money in on a pre-tax basis and let it grow. I mean, you think about, I don't want to, you know, tell you how old I am, but, you know, 40, you know, I was in high school in the 1982, and you know what? The Dow Jones was under 1,000, and look where we are today. So, I mean, you just look at what can happen and continue to put your money in on a pre-tax basis and start to save. Obviously, keep your debt under control. These are all the things that you would expect.
Yeah, no matter what generation you're in.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
And so I'll do all of these things. So,
all right.
And continue to do that. But yeah, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. You know, lots to talk about and, you know, all these cross currents that are out there. Will continue to happen, especially until we know how the election comes out.
What else should we watch for in the coming week?
Yeah, well, there's for sure CPI data is out. So the Fed, you know, the Fed's got a big job in front of them. You know, we know that they're going to, you know, very likely going to lower interest rates in September. But there's other tools they can do. So they have one more data point coming tomorrow, which is the CPI index. We've got that. We have retail sales. That's how we started our interview today. And Michigan's Consumer Sentiment Index for August is coming out. And people aren't feeling great. Vibes are kind of bad. And so we're seeing that right now. And so consumer confidence really is an issue, especially for the incumbent party. We're going to see how that plays out over the next 90 days.
All right. Very good. Dave Spano, CEO of Annex Wealth Management. Appreciate your time. When we talk next time, Dave, I need to get your thoughts on Donald Trump's thoughts around monetary policy and kind of putting more monetary policy control in the hands of the president. So we'll tee that up for the next time we speak.
Sounds good. Thanks.
All right. Enjoy the rest of the week. After the news, a new index on the well-being of our Black and Latino communities. Nancy Hernandez is the president of the Hispanic Collaborative, and she'll join us to showcase some data around the metropolitan Milwaukee area and how we compare with the top 50 metros across the United States. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Today at the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce, the MMAC, and at Milwaukee Rotary at noon, the Hispanic Collaborative and the African American Leadership Alliance of Milwaukee will share new data and offer a comprehensive view of how Milwaukee's black and brown communities are progressing compared to peer metro areas. The presentation will paint a picture of how our diverse communities are doing in the Milwaukee area. Nancy Hernandez, president of the Hispanic Collaborative, joins us via phone. Nancy, thanks for taking time out of your day. We appreciate it.
Yeah, good morning, Jeff. Happy to be here.
All right. So tell us about the report and the data that you presented this morning at the chamber and will do later on very soon at Milwaukee Rotary.
Yeah, absolutely. So we track something called a Hispanic Wellbeing Index, and there's also an additional one that does that the African American Leadership Alliance of Milwaukee does for the African American community. But we track 40 variables about our regional Latino population here, and we do the same thing for the top 50 metros in the U.S. to understand how Latinos here are performing against other cities. And what this really tells us, Jeff, is the health and wealth all rolled up into one ranking of how are Latinos faring here in mm-hmm. Milwaukee, and really points to what are the potential, right? And if we are can make a headway and improve outcomes for our Latinos, what's that going to mean for us in terms of numbers of college graduates, additional businesses, increased household incomes, really leading to greater regional prosperity? So this is our third iteration of the report. And, you know, what this data is telling us is that while we are making small progress on many of these 40 variables, we are dropping in ranking. And the reason being is, you know, when you're not moving as fast as others around you, you're going backwards. And that's really what's happening for Milwaukee.
So where did we fall in terms of the ranking with our 50? You studied 50 different peer cities across the country?
Correct, yes. So we are ranked right now 45th out of 50. And when we started this index report, our first edition, we were 39th, so not much better, but mm-hmm. we have slid from 39th. The second edition had us at 44th, and now we're 45th.
Okay, and what do you think in terms of how can businesses and consumers create more impact and change in all of our communities? Obviously, you know, showcasing the data and showcasing where we rank is truly important, and now we need action to move the ball down the field.
Absolutely. And, you know, the reason that the collaborative is doing what it does is, you know, we look at how do we quarterback a solution to the complex problem, really bringing a lot of stakeholders to the table to try to address the key issues and decipher, you know, which are the key issues that we need to be pushing on. And so one of the things that we look at is education, so number of college graduates. Mm-hmm. Really, you know, I think I can't stress enough that Latinos are 20 percentage points behind the rest of, you know, the general population in terms of the number of adults with college degrees. And a lot of that is a reason of, you know, funding and making the financial stack work, right? Everybody mm-hmm. knows that it's tough to put that right piece together for college, and even more so as we think about the economic situation of our Latino households. But that's our future workforce. And so I would say think about how your organizations, either individually or businesses, invest in college, future college students. That's an important part of the variable. The other is increasing median household income for us. And most of our Latino population is working, but we are looking at, we have a pilot program about how to move somebody from a low-paying, low-skilled job that might not have much room for growth from an earning potential into careers like certified nursing assistants, that with additional training, somebody can become a medical tech or a surgical tech, et cetera, and really have a much more comfortable life for them and their family with much greater earnings trajectories. So I would say, think about from a business perspective, how many internships are you offering for college students? How easy is it to onboard into your industry? Is this something that we can partner on? I would encourage folks to visit our website and get familiar with some of our initiatives, and we can do our best also to introduce you to some of the other ecosystem that's supporting our Latino community.
Okay. Lots of valuable data and insights that will help shape and inform not only our workplace, but our educational and our civic inclusion programs moving forward in the Metro Milwaukee area. Nancy Hernandez from the Hispanic Collaborative, I appreciate your time this morning. Good luck with the rest of your day and week, and we will talk to you again soon.
Thanks so much, Jeff. Bye-bye.
All right. When we come back, I'm going to give you a full rundown of Wisconsin State Fair numbers, and we're going to preview the big Milwaukee Night Market taking place right outside of our studios on Wisconsin Avenue tomorrow night. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. I made a prediction yesterday. Producer Jaslyn, what was that prediction? But I'm not shy in predicting that last year's number will be surpassed. That's going to be my big, bold prediction right out of the gate. Wisconsin State Fair officials yesterday announced a record-breaking 1,136,805 fairgoers visited the annual event, beating the previous record that was 1.1 million from 2019. I was on spot. My first upswing prediction came true. Congratulations to me. Also, obviously, congratulations to all the wonderful people of Wisconsin and from all over that came to the state fair. It is the ultimate commerce and community event. The Governor's Blue Ribbon Livestock Auction raised $426,750. The Blue Ribbon Dairy Products Auction raised a record-breaking $65,000. 352,000 cream puffs were sold. 21,000 of the flavored variety. I kind of like the root beer. Those are pretty good. The Sporkies and the Drinkies have really become institutions out at State Fair. Saz's served over 28,000 orders of their deep fried lemonade bites and are now two-time Drinkies winner. The Old Fashioned Sipper Club served nearly 9,000 fairway fusions. There were 90,000 trips on the Sky Glider. 35,000 potatoes were served at the Wisconsin Products Pavilion. Big, big numbers. I know you've been doing the math as I'm talking. That's an average of 103,000 people per day at Wisconsin State Fair. Those are big, big numbers. Congratulations to everyone out at Wisconsin State Fair. And let's prepare for next year, July 31st through August 10th, 2025. Another event with big, big numbers closes down Wisconsin Avenue. I'm a huge fan of the event, not only because I'm involved in the organization, but it's still the only event that gets to close down Wisconsin Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee for a special event. It happens tomorrow night. It is the Milwaukee Night Market. Begins at 5 p.m. Executive Director of the Westtown Association, Stacy Calise, joins us when we come back. We'll showcase what the event is all about, how many vendors apply to get in each and every year, and how the first two have gone, and what you can expect tomorrow night right here in downtown Milwaukee. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing at the intersection of commerce and community. just got through talking about the big numbers at State Fair for the past 11 days. More big numbers right here in downtown Milwaukee for the Westtown Association's Milwaukee Night Market. The third event of the summer happens tomorrow night beginning at 5 p.m. right here in downtown Milwaukee. Stacy Cleese from the Westtown Association joins us. Stacy, how have the first two events gone? I mean, I was there, but I want to hear it straight from your lens.
Just an overwhelming success. The event really continues to grow into one of those iconic bucket list experiences of the Milwaukee summer. So really all of Milwaukee is showing up for the night market, which we're so excited to have them in Westtown.
Yeah, as I say, I mean, kind of like State Fair, you just have such a cross-section of consumers there. You have the 64-year-old CEO walking down the street early on, and then you have the 14-year-old, and it's just everyone's there to kind of shop and to take it in and just experience kind of the reemergence of downtown Milwaukee. It's just great to see. In terms of the vendors, how many vendors do you have? And then, you know, go back a couple months, how many applications did you get to be a part of the event?
Sure. So each night market features about 120 unique vendors, and that also includes our sponsors and community partners. Of that 120, about 50 are food-focused, 20 are food trucks. We have about 200 unique vendors over the course of the four events. But the vendor interest continues to grow. We have about 700 applicants since the vendor process launched in February. So it's really just showing the interest and the growth of the vendor segment of the event. And so many of those vendors are just completely unique small businesses in Milwaukee that we're excited to support every month.
Yeah, and I know we have, you know, a strategic initiative of the organization. We'd love to find one or two of those vendors that after the event could find a full-time retail home right here in downtown Milwaukee. Is that something you're working on?
For sure. I think that's one of those things with the success of the night market. We're always talking about internally how we can extend that reach into Westtown outside of those 4 days of the night market. And, you know, we've really thought about incubating some of those, 700 businesses that are interested in the event to be permanent pop-up or permanent small businesses in the Westtown corridor.
Yeah. So we talk a lot about on this show, just building connections and community. What's up next for Westtown in terms of just bridging the connections with all the nodes around downtown Milwaukee to create even more business in the heart of the city?
For sure. One of the things we always talk about in Westtown is connecting those dots of activity. We know that Westtown is many visitors' first glimpse of our city, so we really want to present the city in a positive light. And so we've been taking a holistic view of the built environment in Westtown and really looking at how we can shore up that pedestrian experience in the neighborhood. So connecting those dots of activity, those nodes in the different corridors, the Deer District, West Wisconsin Avenue, the soon-to-be Iron District, those external connections to the near west side, to the MLK bid area to the north. We're always talking about those connections and improving that experience for visitors to the Westtown neighborhood.
What's the reaction of the signature sponsors been to this year?
Fiserv is our presenting sponsor, and they are, you know, new to the Westtown neighborhood. Yeah. And their global headquarters is located here, and so they've been so excited to feature their small business platform Clover every month. You'll see them at Clover Corner right at Valar Phillips. We have the new Kohl's Entertainment Zone, which has been a smashing hit. Kohl's has been a great partner, new business right on West Wisconsin Avenue with their new store. So they've been working with us to curate a lineup of great entertainment for the event, which you'll find right outside the 3rd Street Market Hall at MLK and West Wisconsin Avenue.
All right. I know our good teammate at ESPN Wisconsin, Steve the Homer True, will be broadcasting live from the night market tomorrow night. So look forward to it. Begins at 5 o'clock, runs till 10 o'clock right here in the heart of the state in beautiful downtown Milwaukee.